Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy Virtual Conference, designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
Welcome, everybody. Truth. Truth. What if truth was an area and not a point? An area like a space. Growing up, this is a message that I got from my grandfather on a regular basis. Truth is an area and not a point. Honestly, I didn't understand it much as a kid. As I started to get older, and unfortunately my grandfather passed when I was 12, so I didn't really get to ask him as I started to have more time to think about it, I started to make sense of it in the idea that an area like a park, like Central Park, could hold many parks, even different parks, but parks that all could coexist together. As I got a little older still, the idea continued to grow to the idea that truth being an area and not a point meant that many truths could coexist, even if those truths seemingly were at odds with each other. Honestly, this took me a long time to make sense of, to really get into, because that meant that when I was arguing with somebody, and the argument, whatever it was about, meant that for them to be wrong, I had to be right, or vice versa. If they were going to be right, then I was going to be wrong. And when I realized that if truth is an area and not a point, related to the idea that multiple truths could coexist, even if they seemed at odds with each other and still be right, how do you make sense of that? How do you live? How do you operate if the idea of multiple truths coexisting? As I got older still, I started to think about it in terms of religion and in terms of different philosophies and ideas. What if that means that Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, etc., are all true and coexist? And coexist for me means harmony. It doesn't mean that you're over there and I'm over there and we don't cross our line. No, it means we coexist together. And as I started to really decide to make this my viewpoint, my outlook, all of a sudden differences stopped meaning that we weren't going to get along, that we weren't going to be able to operate together, that instead of the idea of approval and acceptance being the same thing, I didn't have to approve of your choices, but I could still accept you as a person, as a friend, as a human being. And that was life-changing. That the idea that there is a way for you and me to disagree, to have different points of view, different beliefs, different value systems, and yet coexist. So, honestly, this has become a fundamental truth for me that when I look at the world that we live in today, I don't find much of it around. I see divisiveness, I see separateness, I see different sides of the aisle. But I don't see this idea of harmony. I don't see this idea of being able to disagree but be together. I don't see the ability for us to consider each other as friends, as colleagues, if we don't have the same value system. And I don't think that has brought us any great special way of living. I don't think it's increased our health, that it's increased the health of our societies, that it's setting up a world for our children. And that's frightening. So that's what really drove me to develop this idea and share it with you today of the power of radical self-awareness. And I hope that you'll listen to the rest of this talk and think about these ideas. And if they at all resonate with you, that you'll ripple them out as well. Because one person doesn't change the world, but many of us can. It is like a saying that I have once heard, that a little light can dispel a lot of darkness. And I believe truly that if we can adopt a mindset of what I'm going to call curiosity, which is funny because it's a word that's been used heavily today in many of the talks, that if we can be more curious, we can change the world. What do I mean by this? Self-awareness can mean many things to many people. And for me, it starts with recognizing how I'm showing up. Now, I'm going to jump into a story, which is going to sound a little tangential, but it's not. So I find it interesting that as people, we love stories. We read stories, we tell stories, we watch movies that are stories. And in a way, we think in stories, that when we see something, we are telling ourselves a story about what we're seeing, about what we're hearing, about what's happening. Now, one of the challenges of this is that where do these stories come from? Are they always based in fact? Or in fact, are we making them up to some extent? And the more that I have studied this and the more that I have read about it, the more I understand that it seems we are making up a lot of our stories. So here's a story. I, like many of you probably, drive a car. And when I'm driving, one of the things that absolutely sets me off to no end is when drivers cut me off or they don't use their turning indicator. And if you ever got to know my wife, she would tell you that when she's with me in the car, this experience drives her crazy too. Not that these people are, not that other drivers are doing it, but how I react to other drivers doing this. I get angry, I get frustrated. And even if I don't even say stupid driver, she will feel my stress. She will feel my anxiety. She will feel it. And the idea of the self-awareness and the stories come together when I can recognize one other element in my life, which is I'm not a mind reader. I don't know if you're a mind reader. I have never met a real mind reader. I feel that I'm intuitive, and I've met a lot of intuitive people. However, even intuitive people are wrong sometimes about their intuition. But if I was really a mind reader, I would never be wrong. I would always know what the other person is thinking. So as I am watching these other drivers do the thing and I am getting frustrated and angry, the idea of curiosity applied to this would mean to ask myself a question. What if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? Okay, let me take you through this. Imagine the last day or day and a half for you. Think of any situation that triggered you in some way, whether it was a small annoyance or something that really made you angry or upset. Got it? Now, take in a breath and ask yourself, what if you're wrong? What if the stories you made up about that person or those people, about what happened, what their motivations were, what their reasonings were, is wrong? How do you feel inside as you contemplate, what if the thoughts I had were wrong? The story I wrote was wrong. When I work with my clients and we get into this topic, some tell me they feel like I do, which is lighter, easier, more relaxed, if those stories, which are often negative stories, are wrong. Some clients tell me that it actually triggers more fear, that they rely on being able to make up these stories to make them feel safe and in control. But at the same time, they also tell me that when they do let go of the story, the negative story, the blame, the judgment story, even though they feel nervous about not having the story, they feel better inside. That the anger, the frustration at other people gets let go. This simple idea of what if I'm wrong? What if I don't know? All of a sudden allows me to go back to this idea of truth being an area to really start to make sense of how I can make sense of multiple truths coexisting. Because I'm not a mind reader. Instead, what I have is observable reality. I can observe that people are cutting me off or not putting on their turn signal, but I don't know why they're not. I don't know their reason and their motivation. I just know what I observe. Even worse, I've cut people off. I've not used my turn signal every single time, but I know my own thoughts and I forgive myself. I have a reason. I put my hand and say sorry when I do that. But the person who's watching me could be just like me, angry, frustrated, annoyed at this stupid driver who shouldn't be driving. But what if, in adopting this idea of curiosity in the form of what if I don't know, allows me to let go of that story? So I'll be honest with you. This is the easy part. It really is. The idea here of assuming that I don't know versus I do know is easy to say and hard to do. Now, one challenge, like the people who tell me that not having their story makes them scared, also points to another thing. Our minds seem to love stories. We seem to think in a narrative and tell stories and think in stories. And so sometimes the absence of a story is actually not effective. In those instances, we also can come to the realization that I'm telling myself a story. It happens to be a negative story. They're a bad driver. They shouldn't be driving. But that's a made-up story because I don't actually know if they're a bad driver. I just know what I observed this time. And if I'm already going to make up a story, what if I decided to make up a good story, a positive story? Oh, they're in a rush. They need to get home for a reason. They are rushing to the hospital to see their wife with a new baby, or they got to get to the bathroom. I can assign a positive story as easily as I can assign a negative story. That's a choice. But I have to think about that choice. Here's the next piece. One of my favorite sayings in the world is a saying attributed to Buddha. And it goes like this: holding on to resentment, anger, judgment is like drinking poison and hoping that the other person dies. Drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. When someone asks me, what do I mean? Like, what's that poison feel like? That poison feels like the anger, the frustration, the feeling inside of my body when I'm judging that other person, that bad driver. But there are many instances where I'll have events in my life, I'll make up a story about what the other person's motivation was, and the seethingness, the anger, the frustration can stay in me for hours, for a day. It can affect my sleep. It can impact my well-being. It makes me irritable that other people don't want to be around me. What's crazy is that's the poison. That's the poison in me that I'm somehow magically hoping transmits to this other person who often I don't really know, hoping that they will suffer the way that I am suffering. But there's a good chance that this person doesn't even know who I am, not even thinking about me, not suffering at all, but I'm suffering. I'm suffering. For what? Isn't it crazy? Drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. So, how do we get out of that? What if I don't know? To me, is the first step. Releasing the idea that I somehow think I'm a mind reader, that I know the reasons and the motivations of somebody else. The second is finding a way to let go. So many of our religions, Judaism, Christianity, etc., talk about turning the other cheek, don't judge our fellow person. Buddhism talks about non-attachment. And a lot of the Eastern philosophies have an idea that have really helped me take this not drinking the poison to the next, to a space that I can put it into practice. If I want to stop the poison coming into my body, I need to let go of the source of the poison for me. The source of the poison for me is the holding on to the judgment and the anger of this other person. So if I want to let go of the poison, if I want to stop poisoning myself, I need to let go of the story about this other person. Essentially, I need to let go of this other person. Now, in Western religions, Judo-Christian religions, we would talk about that like forgiveness. But maybe I'm not ready to forgive the person who wronged me. In the Eastern idea, the forgiveness is not for them. The forgiveness is for me. I am forgiving myself for poisoning myself. I am forgiving myself for hurting myself and maybe my loved ones with my anger, my judgment, my energy. In this idea, I am going to let the other person go, not because they deserve it necessarily, but because I deserve it. I deserve to be free of this poison. I deserve to live a better life. I deserve to be healthier. Just imagine what your life would be like if you could live for the next day or 2 days or 3 days with no poison in your body. What if you could say to yourself about the stories you're making up, the negative ones? What if I'm wrong? What if they're not true? What if you give yourself the gift of letting go? How would you feel? How would those around you feel? For me, it would be amazing. Okay. Now we got to get to brass tacks, rubber hit the road. How do we really do this? Because one of the things that I absolutely dislike is an idea without a way to put it into practice. So for me, there's a four-step practice that I do constantly, and that when I work on this with different people, this is what I advise. And thankfully, I've gotten a lot of good feedback that this has really helped make a difference. Step one is putting up post-it notes. Yes, post-it notes. And I put up post-it notes around my monitor. I put it in the bathroom, so I see it in the morning and at night. Maybe I'll put it in the kitchen. Put it around the places that I frequent so that I see this post-it note or these post-it notes. And what I write on the post-it note is something simple, like, what if I don't know? Or curiosity? Or don't judge? Or let go of the poison? Something that reminds me that I am trying to build this mindset. Now, anybody who's read any books on habits knows that forming a new habit really has two parts to it. The first part is that our brain, which is always trying to conserve energy, is going to almost habitually want to follow the path I already know. And in this case, that's the path of making up negative stories. Additionally, when I'm trying to form a new habit, I've got to forge forward into forming a new pathway in my brain, which takes a lot of energy. So it's not that I'm just doing one and not the other. I am having to let go or resist the pull of the other energy and push forward with the energy of this new habit. So that comes to part two. And I call it visioning. That's not me calling it, but it's visioning. And there's two parts to visioning. There's retrospective visioning and there's prospective visioning. Retrospective visioning is at the end of the day, I will think about my day, think about any of the events that might have occurred where I did feel triggered or annoyed or frustrated, and replay that event, that memory in my mind. And as I replay it, the event happens, the observable event, the story starts, and then I say to myself, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? What if I don't know? And then see in my mind's eye how that experience would play on with that mindset. That starts to build a neural pathway of that change. The second visioning exercise is prospective, to think about my day ahead and think about who I'm planning to meet with or what I'm planning to do, and imagine taking into those meetings, those interactions, this mindset of curiosity, of what if I don't know? And imagining how my day will go. Number three, if I want to up it and really kind of put myself in a place of really moving this into a daily habit, is to build accountability partnerships. This means going to people that I trust, that I feel have my goodness at heart, and ask them to help catch me when they see me making up these negative stories, when they hear me making up these negative stories, when my wife sees me in the car getting all frustrated, to gently remind me that I wanted to be reminded when I'm making up negative stories, and be able to ask myself, what if I actually don't know? If I want to take this one and put it on steroids, I tell the people I will pay them $1. Yes, I will pay them $1 for every single time they remind me. Just imagine what that will be like if I had to pay out $1 every single time I'm judging somebody. I think that I'm going to make that change pretty quickly. So, post-it notes, visioning, accountability partnerships, paying out $1. Now, imagine that you want to take this even one step further, that you want to help spread this idea so that not only you can feel this way, but that those around you are also practicing this. So share this. Share this idea with them. Share this idea of, what if I don't know? What if I don't know? And see what life will be like between now and Christmas to New Year's into Valentine's Day. If we could live this way and ripple it out. I would love to talk to you further about this. If you have any questions, reach me in the networking here or on LinkedIn at my LinkedIn page. I would really be open to having a conversation. If you want to start practicing curiosity in your life, living a life of greater peace, greater self-awareness, greater harmony. Thank you. Have a great and blessed day, and thank you for coming to this event.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session as we transition to our next expert. Remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.